Welcome back to the Live Out Loud podcast. It's Aaliyah here, and I am so excited about today's episode. Now, next to singleness, friendship is definitely one of my most asked about topics, and it's also one of my favorite things to talk about because it's what I'm living in. I'm single, and I've therefore been able to really invest in godly friendships and godly community and get to witness the fruit of walking in friendships that have truly been ordained and authored by the Lord. But it wasn't always like that. I went through different seasons of toxic friendships, of having to walk away from people, of having so many friends just because I found my identity in friendship. Fun fact, I, especially in high school, really found a lot of my identity and security in who I was friends with, on who I was cool with, on who I was connected to, not yet knowing that it was a longing and a desire that only could be fulfilled first in Jesus. And then I was able to have true, godly, fruitful friendships. And so I want to talk about friendships today, specifically from an adult perspective, and specifically from a Christian adult perspective, because it's no secret that friendships, when you get older, are a little bit different. And so today is going to be the cold, hard truth about adult friendships, and more specifically, Christian adult friendships, because adult friendships require a level of emotional maturity that many may not yet possess. And more specifically, Christian adult friendships require a level of emotional and spiritual maturity that many may not yet possess. And so let's talk about it. And I first want to say, let's go back to the scriptures. Let's lay a foundation. So when you think of a verse about friendship, immediately most people would think Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And I love it because that lays a great framework for friendship, for its intention and its design, and truly what we are to get out of friendships and what we are to be putting into friendships. Friendships are there to strengthen one another. Friendships are there to point one another to Christ. I did a book club with Friends for Eternity, which is my online community. Shout out to my Friends for Eternity girls. I haven't forgotten about you. I've spent a lot of time investing in this podcast, and so I had to put Friends for Eternity on the back burner for a little bit, but I do have plans to bring that back, do more online Bible studies, do more book clubs together. But the book club that we did was called Friendish by Kelly Needham, and it is genuinely one of the best books I've ever read, especially as it pertains to friendship, and especially as it pertains to Christian friendship. And so I want to read a quote from the book to kind of lay the foundation for the importance and necessity of friendship and how we can do this in a biblical and godly way. And so she says, "When God said it is not good that the man should be alone, he wasn't only referring to marriage. There are no lone rangers in God's kingdom. Being able to live isolated and without community is not a sign of health, but of pride. If God says we need other people, then it is humble and wise to embrace that need and seek to have it met. The question is not if we need people, but what we need from them. We certainly need something from our friends, but it isn't what the world says we need. What we need are companions who will fight for our ultimate good, nearness to Christ." And so that's what I think about when you go back to Proverbs 27:17, is ironing, sharpening iron. We're sharpening one another to be more like Christ, to point one another to Christ. And I think friendship is beautiful. It's a God-given gift. Even this book often says it is an irreplaceable gift in the life of a Christian, but we must know how to do it well. And so I kind of gave a little bit of backstory about my experience with friendships, especially in high school and those different times when you're trying to be popular and fit in and all these different things. But even going back to a kid, I was always that person who made friends very easily. It's no secret. I'm more outgoing. I'm more talkative. I'm more extroverted. And so I definitely kind of, if you've ever heard, oh, introverts are just adopted by extroverts, and that's how introverted people like make friends. And I have to say, I'm definitely that extrovert that adopts introverts. And I think that's kind of how I've gone through life, just making friends. And, you know, I just love friendship, and I love being able to connect with people on such a deep level. And that's just how God wired me. And so it was I was even chuckling as I was preparing for this podcast. I was at dinner with my friends a couple nights ago, and the two of them are talking about how they both thought one another was kind of standoffish, and they didn't know how they felt about one another when they first met each other. And I'm kind of sitting there like, you guys weren't standoffish with me. What are you talking about? And they both were like, Aaliyah, it's impossible to be standoffish with you. And they were like imitating me, and they're like, hi, oh my gosh, it's so nice to meet you. I've been praying about this moment since the day I was born. And they were just going on and on and on, like, God told me I would meet you. I just have known you since I was in my womb. I love you so much. And I literally had tears rolling down my face because it was so funny. But I mean, hey, I guess it's true. I just love people. I love connecting. I love talking. I love fellowshipping. I just love these things. I'm so passionate about it. And it just made me laugh. And I was like, yeah, friendship definitely needs to be the next episode I talk about, because that was just too great. So I kind of have 3 points. And like I said, this is going to be the cold, hard truth about friendship. So this is going to be more of a tough love kind of vibe. Okay. It's not going to be mushy gushy. Yes, I'm going to be encouraging, but it might be a little bit more stern than you're used to hearing from me. But that's okay, because it is out of love, because I love every single person who's listening to this, whether I know you or don't know you. I love you with the love of Christ, and I want you to know God and know his intention and design for friendship, and be able to walk in the fruit of godly friendship. And that comes sometimes with having to just wrestle with some things and really reflect and really take things to God. And so that is where this is going to be coming from today. So a big question people ask me is, how do you make friends as an adult? Where are you meeting people? How do you meet the friends that you have? And so before we get to where I meet people and how you make friends, let's understand that first, making friends requires vulnerability and putting yourself out there. That's why we find it a lot more difficult as adults to make friends, is because when we were kids, friends just came easily because you were on the playground. You're like, oh, I like your shoes. Thanks, I like your shoes. Want to go swing? Or like, hey, do you want to come play kickball with us? Or I don't know, just like, over the years, many of us have become jaded through different experiences, whether you had, you know, there were some girls who were mean to you in high school, or you had a friend group that you loved and suddenly they switched up on you and you were no longer invited or included, or whatever the case may be. As we've gotten older, we've learned to care more about what other people think, and therefore it hinders our ability to put ourselves out there, to put ourselves in vulnerable positions where, hey, we're reaching out on a limb here. They might not reciprocate it or receive it well, but you have to be okay with that's the possibility. And so I know that also being in school always provided an opportunity to make friends very easily, because you're around people your same age. Even when I was in college, you know, you're around people the same age as you, and people are in similar life stages and seasons as you. So it really does feel a lot easier to make friends in that way. But then you graduate, you move, you go different places, you start your jobs, and you're like, okay, how do I meet people? Where is my community going to come from? And I remember wrestling with this very specifically. My senior year at Michigan State, I had made some amazing friends. I mean, I had the best friendship community and church and young adult community like ever. Like, I literally remember it was the first time in my life where my group of core friends were all solid in the Lord, living their lives for Him. We would go to our young adults group on Thursday nights and we would just have a blast. It would be wholesome fun. I would get home from my dorm at like 2 a.m. and be like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. And it was like a spiritual high, versus a few years before that, I was getting home from my dorm at 2 a.m. drunk and questioning my life and being like, God, help me, because I know this isn't it. And so to be able to have that transformation of being a freshman and getting drunk and coming home and feeling like crap, versus being a senior and being at church all night and coming home just not even able to go to sleep because you're so excited and you love God and you love your friends so much. And so that was genuinely like one of the best times of my life, one of the best seasons of my life as far as community and friendship goes. And then guess what? I was graduating. And I was moving away. I was moving back home. And so I really wrestled with grieving these friendships and these relationships, but also knowing that if God gave me those friendships, then He could give me those friendships again. And so I said, you know what, Lord, I have an amazing community and I love them so much and I love my friends so much, but I believe that you're the same God who gave me these friendships and relationships. And therefore, when I move home, you're going to give me these friendships and relationships. But even if I have to go through a season of isolation and it's just me and my family that I'm hanging out with, because my sophomore year, I definitely went through a season of isolation. I didn't have very many friends. I was just, you know, people were going out and partying on Friday nights and I was popping popcorn and watching sermons because I had nothing else to do. And that is when I really, really, really learned to see Jesus as my best friend. But that's another time for another day. Anyways, I knew that I was going to be okay. God had provided before, He could provide again, but even if He didn't, He was still good. And so I came home and there's no school, there's no necessarily gathering of, you know, like-minded people my age, or was there? Actually, yeah, there was. It's called the church. So hear me out. I started going to a young adult service of a church in my area and just started showing up. And I mean, some of the people I had known through different things or whatever. So one of my closest friends to me right now in this very moment, she went to high school with me. I'd known of her, didn't know her that well, but we both started going to that church as young adults. And now we're like best friends. And it's crazy because we laugh, we walk past each other in the hallways, we knew of each other, had mutual friends, but we were never that close until we both were in the same place at the same time, a church young adult group seeking godly community, seeking fellowship. And that is where we found one another. And so the biggest place, when people say, where do you meet your friends? I meet them at church, but more specifically, the young adult services. You have to go, even if you don't know anybody there, even if you're showing up by yourself, you have to go, you have to put yourself out there. Because how else? It's the same when people are like, oh, singles, you can't expect your husband to come knocking on your door. Well, don't expect your best friends to come knocking on your door either. You have to put yourself out there. You have to go places and do things and be around people in order for these things to happen. In addition to church, a lot of my friends I've actually met on social media. I have countless friends that I have met through having mutual friends and seeing them post about one another. Like, for example, one of my closest friends now, I knew about her through a friend. She was a mutual friend, and that friend would post, you know, Instagram stories and tag her. And I'm like, this girl seems so cool. And so we ended up following each other on Instagram and we're kind of like responding to her story and be like, oh, that's so cool. Or, oh, I got to try that. Or, oh, thanks for that recommendation. And we ended up meeting like a few months later. And now we're like really good friends, but it was on Instagram. We just saw each other and just messaged each other. And I have to say, a lot of my friends have actually come through mutual friends. And I know people sometimes feel some type of way because they're like, oh, I introduced them and now they hang out without me. Well, that's just life. And I'm not like, again, hear me out. I should have made this disclaimer earlier. What I'm about to say and anything that I say, I am not condoning people mistreat you or misuse you, or you allow yourself to stay in friendships that are toxic or not good for you. I'm not condoning that. But what I'm saying is that we have to understand, and I honestly feel like jumping to my next point, my last point is, no one owes you anything. We have to stop looking for in friendship what you can only find in relationship with God. I think that our expectations in friendship have gotten a little bit ridiculous over time, especially through social media. And again, I'm not saying people have permission to treat you like trash. I'm not saying that you can tolerate poor friendships. What I am saying is you can't expect the same level of intimacy and emotional availability as you would from a spouse or from God. And that I just jumped ahead I had 3 points. That was point three. I'm going to come back to that. But like I was saying, you cannot be afraid to put yourself out there. You can't be afraid to make plans, to host, to initiate fellowship, to invite people into your home or invite people to get coffee with you. You can't be afraid to do these things. You know, I think sometimes we get into this like, woe is me. Nobody asked me to hang out. Well, are you asking people to hang out? Are you inviting people to go places? We have to let go of a victim mentality and understand that we need to be the friend to others that you want for yourself. You want a friend that invites you places, invite other people places. I remember hearing something where a girl invited a whole group of women over for the study and like nobody showed up. And I remember she was like really upset about it, feeling dejected, like, dang, nobody likes me. But I think she kept doing it or something. And I just remember that she ended up making a really, really, really great friend out of this because she opened up her home. You know, people might not reciprocate it right away. They might not always be available, but you're not, if you're doing it for the sole purpose of receiving something back, then you're doing it wrong. Where friendship is another, you know, all right, let me calm down for a second. Let me take a breather. We so often make friendship about ourselves when friendship is about your friend. Friendship is about being a friend. And again, I'm not saying tolerate toxic behavior or people misusing you or mistreating you or taking advantage of your resources and your time. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is let's get to the heart of the issue. Let's take these things before the Father, because friendship is a beautiful thing. And I know that we all want it. We all, you know, so many of us desire it, but we have to know that it won't come without being vulnerable at times. It won't come without the potential of being disappointed and let down. That's this life. But you know who will never disappoint you? You know who will never let you down? You know where I'm going with this. Jesus Christ. He is our first and our foremost. He is the best friend that we could ever have. In right relationship with him, we'll learn how to be better friends. We'll learn how to be secure in ourselves so that it doesn't matter if a friend cancels, or it doesn't matter if somebody says no to our invitation, because we know whose we are. Okay? Okay. So again, that's point number one. Making friends requires vulnerability and putting yourself out there. Now, point number two. I feel like I'm going to get just as passionate. Oh my gosh, I can feel it coming. Okay. Point number two. There's different levels to friendship. We need to seek God to know where certain friends belong and also learn to be okay with friendships maybe not going the way that we thought or hoped. Hear me out. Okay, now this is what I'm going to start with. In Luke chapter 10, I believe, Jesus sends out 72 disciples. And we're like, 72 disciples? I thought you had 12. And then I think it's in the previous chapter, in Luke chapter 9, where Jesus takes his three, Peter, James, and John, and they get to see his transfiguration, but not the rest of the 12. And so where I'm going with this is that there's different layers and levels and circles of friendship. And my mom actually ministered this to me before I went to college. She was praying over me and speaking over me. And she was like, Aaliyah, I really sense the Lord is saying you need to learn that it's okay that friendships, you can have an inner circle, you can have an outer circle, and you can even have an outer circle. You know, not everybody deserves or needs to have, and I won't say deserves, not everybody needs to have the same amount of access to you, being the same amount of proximity to you. You have to discern, because she knew that I was a personality type that was so bubbly and, oh my gosh, yay, everybody's my best friend. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yes, that's great, but not everybody gets to know all of you. Not everybody gets to see you in all those ways. Not everybody gets to see and know all the details of what's going on with you, because we have to be very, very careful. But again, if we see what Jesus had, now, yes, Jesus was a friend to his disciples, but he also was a teacher and a leader. So I'm not saying that Jesus was excluding, you know, the rest of the 12 when he took Peter, James, and John. That wasn't exclusion. He was allowing them to see that transfiguration for their own benefit and their own building up of future leadership roles in the church. And so I'm not saying that, you know, Jesus was not giving the rest of the disciples access to him, but that was more so his rabbi and his teacher side speaking into them and allowing them to be prepared for what was to come. What we can glean from that, though, is that it's okay if different people have different levels of access to you, okay? And listen, I'm not saying that you need to go around about life with your walls up and being quick to cut people off and being, you know, emotionally unavailable and not sharing what's going on in your life. It's not feasible. But what I'm saying is we need to stop thinking that if we don't give someone access, you're being rude or you're being a bad friend. No, you're being wise and you're being discerning, okay? Because our words matter. And hear me out. From my a personal example in my life is that I only share certain things with certain people who I know will have the same level of faith, if not greater, on my behalf and that I know will speak life over a certain circumstance. There are certain people, like I have, I feel kind of weird naming names because I don't want people to see certain people differently in my life, but I just, let's just say I have a friend in my life that completely unfiltered, she gets every unfiltered thing. Like I don't have to sugarcoat anything or feel like, oh, she's gonna think that I'm being weird or super uber spiritual if I say this, like I'm afraid. She understands, she gets it, and I know that she gets it. And so with her, she gets the full thing, she gets the full scope. When I was walking through a really difficult time, as I shared in my first episode, the hardest season of my life, she knew what was going on a deep, deep spiritual level because I knew she had the faith to back it up. I knew she had the faith to pray for me when I didn't even feel like praying for myself. And so we have to be discerning. And I don't mean this, again, this is not meant to be like, oh, treat people as less than or see certain people as better than others. No, I'm not saying that. Everybody has equal value and equal worth in the eyes of God. But all I'm saying is that you don't have to give everybody access to you at all times. It's okay to say no. It's even okay to be like, hey, I think you're great, but I don't genuinely don't see us like actually being close friends. God can give you the words to say that in a very nice way. Because hear me out, one thing I really had to learn, especially after I graduated college, is that not every Christian you meet has to be your best friend. I'm gonna say that again. Not every Christian you meet has to be your best friend. And I had to learn that because I'm like, oh, she's a Christian. Like, yay, we love Jesus. And I remember I met this girl on Instagram, actually. We went to a church event or something and we hung out once and we never talked again. And I was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? What's so wrong with me? Like, did I do something or say something? And then I was like, wait a minute. We just like don't have to be best friends. Like, yes, she's my sister in Christ and I love her with the love of Christ, but she doesn't have to be my BFF. She doesn't have to be like, we need to get away from that. But again, I have to rein in, I have to pull the reins in and not go off on so many side tangents. But I really hope that the point I'm making is getting across in a way that's understandable, in a way that your heart is able to receive, is that there's different levels to friendship. So be discerning about what level of access somebody has to you, and also be okay with if somebody doesn't want to give you as much access to them as you would like. Be okay with the fact that, you know, there's some people in my life that I'm like, hey, a coffee date once a month is great. And there's other people where I'm like, no, like, let's do dinner once a week. I want to see you. And it's not because I like the one person more. It's genuinely just a matter. It's a matter of discernment. It's a matter of who am I allowing to speak into my life? Who am I allowing to share the most intimate and vulnerable parts of myself? Who am I allowing? Because I actually saw this analogy and I love this. Someone was talking about how, like, some people don't text back right away or aren't the quickest to answer their phone or whatever the case may be. And they were like, because our digital age has given people this false idea of access. They think, oh, well, you're on your phone, so why can't you talk, you know, why can't you respond to me? It's like, yeah, I'm on my phone, but like, imagine if this were in person. Imagine if like Instagram and texting and calling, imagine if all that was in person and you had like 15 people all in your face at one time. That's ridiculous, right? And so it's the same with like, this digital age has just, it's made people think that we deserve access to one another. Or I think there's this false level of proximity that people think they have because we share our lives on social media. So I think a lot of people think because, oh, I see their life, I see what they do, I feel like I know them so much better. But what you see is what they're choosing to share with the masses versus what they're maybe choosing to share with their friends, you know, their close, close friends. And so anyways, that's point number two, is that there's different levels to friendship. Seek God to know where certain friends belong and learn to be okay if maybe you're not at a level where you would like to be with somebody, okay? I'm not, and again, these are all things I want you to take before the Lord. I don't want you to listen to this podcast and be like, well, Aaliyah told me that it's okay if so-and-so doesn't talk to me ever. No, that's not what I was saying. That's not what I was saying. Friendship requires communication. That's a big part of it. I'm not saying it's okay if your friend ghosts you or ignores you or doesn't talk to you for months at a time. No, but what I am saying is don't expect everything from them. Don't expect their everything and their all when they're a human being too. When they're probably, especially if they're wives and mothers, they got baby. they got things going on, okay? So don't misconstrue my words. Please hear me when I say this. I'm not condoning people treating you like trash, people ignoring you, people blowing you off. I'm not condoning that. But what I am saying is to be discerning, take these things before the Lord, and really let's have a heart check. Let's have an inward reflection. What are my expectations of friendships? Where have I potentially been having unhealthy expectations regarding my friendships? Where have I potentially overshared and done too much when maybe that person didn't need to know all of that? That's what I'm saying, okay? Okay. All right. Moving on. Okay. My podcast recorder died, but I am back. She got new batteries and we're good to go. So moving on. I kind of jumped ahead of myself. This is point number 3 I shared earlier. No one owes you anything. Stop looking for in friendship what you can only find in relationship with Jesus. And so I really believe that our expectations of friendships have gotten a little bit ridiculous over time. And I think that a big factor is social media and what we see and, you know, oh my gosh, love you, girl. You're the best. Like my person, da 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 da. Or if you have watched Grey's Anatomy, that is where the my person, what was it, Meredith and Christina, is that her name? I watched Grey's Anatomy for a little bit, and then somebody died. I'm not going to name any names. Somebody died in season 5 that it just set me over the edge, so I stopped at season 5. But and I probably shouldn't have been watching it anyways. All that there's a lot of there's okay. That's not what we're talking about though. So it can be tempting to want and desire out of a friendship what can only be found in a marriage and really only be found in relationship with Jesus. Now, I'm going to go back and quote The Friendish book by Kelly Needham again, because she has in chapter 4 of her book, Mimicking Marriage, something that I think is so key and so important. So I'm going to read a quote from her book. Okay, actually, I'm about to read because she talks about the Grey's Anatomy reference. I'm going to read more of it than I initially intended on. So she says, should a friend be your person? The fictional friendship on the show Grey's Anatomy between characters Meredith and Christina changed the landscape of friendship. It's these two that coined the now popular phrase, you're my person. What does it mean for someone to be your person? According to several sources and its use in the show, a person isn't only your best friend, they're more. Your person is your everything. Oop, pause, cringe. Because I only know one person who should be your everything. His name starts with J and it ends with Jesus, all right? Anyways, continuing on. And there are plenty of people on the hunt for their person, not in marriage, mind you, but in friendship. Bumble, traditionally a digital dating app, now offers a friendship version, Bumble BFF. It's one of several new friend finder apps where you'll spot profiles sporting things like looking for the Meredith to my Christina. So is it okay for a friend to be more than a friend? Is it right for a friend to be your person? Let me answer with a clear no. The Bible is clear that marriage is the only relationship to be exclusive and binding. No other human relationship gets the title of one flesh. No other human relationship has you belong to me ownership. No other human relationship calls for lifelong commitment. After reading that quote, something that came to me was the notion that I believe this is why my person, my best friend, my everything, this is why so many young adult Christians can struggle with making friends is because we're in search of our person, our bestie for the restie, an exclusive relationship when friendship, although very important, is not and will never be as binding as marriage or as intimate and exclusive as our relationship with God. And so again, this goes back to allowing God to survey our hearts. Because what are we looking out of this friendship? Are we looking for more than just someone who can point and lead us to Christ and that we can share meals with and fellowship and have fun times? What are you looking for? Because I promise you, with everything in me, it is found perfectly in relationship with Jesus Christ. I promise you that. And so friendship, I felt like, again, This is weird for me. I'm not usually a tough love kind of girl, but I want you to know that friendship is so important. It's so beautiful. But it can never replace a relationship with God. It can never replace the friendship that you can find in Jesus Christ. And once you know these things, once you know your identity and your security and the relationship you have with Him, you're able to be the best friend that you could ever be to others, because you're more selfless. You're walking by the Spirit's power. You're discerning. There's so much more I want to say, and this definitely won't be the last time I talk about friendship, but I wanted to keep it short and sweet and just touch on three major things that I think that we could all take some time to reflect and spend time with God. So again, I'm going to go over the points one more time. Making friends requires vulnerability, putting yourself out there. Think about if you struggle with that, think about why. Go ask God to show you why. Was there a really embarrassing moment you had in your life that shut you down and closed you off to people? He can heal that. If you surrender that to Him, if you bring that before Him, He can heal that. So you're not looking at people as enemies and as people who have the potential to hurt you. Because they do, but God protects you. God will protect you. Number two, there's different levels to friendship. It's okay to have an inner circle of some close-knit friends who know more about you than other friends do, who can pray for you, who you know will speak life over you. And it's okay to have a bigger circle outside of that. You know, you meet for coffee, you have fun, you talk about God and encourage one another. And it's okay to even have a bigger circle outside of that, where you kind of get into more of like acquaintance type of thing. Not acquaintance, but you know what I'm saying? Like friends that you see every so often, but you get to catch up and just share, you know, all of the good things that God is doing and hear about what God's doing in your life. And, you know, it's okay. The person that you see every couple of months does not have less value. They both are equal in value. They're children of God. But it's okay. I think we have to let go of our offenses. I think number one, we fear rejection. That's where the first point about being, you know, friendships require vulnerability. And a lot of us are afraid of rejection. You know, there's different levels to friendship, and a lot of us are prone to offense. And lastly, no one owes you anything. If your friend chooses to hang out with you, I mean, at least for me, let me say for myself, this is the way I view things for me. When my friend and I make plans to get dinner, they didn't owe me that time. They chose to spend time with me. Friendship is a gift. It's a gift. But when you see these things as expectations and obligations, you're now taking away from the fact that it's a gift. Your friends don't owe you their time. They choose to give it to you. Maybe you want more time from them and they don't have it. Or maybe they do and they don't realize. It's okay to have these conversations with them. That's the biggest thing, is you can have conversations with people. Oh, but again, we're afraid of confrontation. We're so used to doing everything over the phone and digitally. This was a different tone for me. But I know that it needed to be said. And I pray that it encourages everyone to go seek the Father. Regarding friendship, pray for your friendships. Pray for friends. Again, I had a season of isolation my sophomore year of college, where I had really taken a step back from the worldly friendships that I knew were not good for me. And I had to make a decision and say, I would rather be by myself with God. I'd rather be alone, even though I'm not alone, I'm with God. I'd rather be alone than be with you. Because your bad company is corrupting my character. The Bible says that. Bad company corrupts good character. And there are people whose bad company was corrupting my character. And I couldn't allow for it anymore. So I had to remove myself from that situation. And in turn, I was by myself. I was popping popcorn on Friday night and turning my little sermon on. Jumping into the Word of God. What does His Word say? And even though I didn't really have many friends at that point in time, I felt so fulfilled. Because I knew what I was doing was better and would be more fruitful for me than going out and getting drunk and partying and doing the things I used to do. So anyways, I'm going to end it right here. I hope that this was in some ways encouraging, even though it felt like I was yelling at you guys the whole time. Seriously, I love friendship so much that I'm willing to talk about it in a way that might not be the most lighthearted and kind, or I should say in a way that might not be the most lighthearted and fluffy, as I say, but I think it was necessary, and I pray that it encouraged someone listening, and I pray that you take all of this before the Father and that you get to see Jesus as your very best friend. I love you guys, and I will talk to you in my next episode. Bye!